Adam Huttler. He's the executive director of Fractured Atlas, a very interesting group that seeks to fluff up the arts all over the world, correct?
I've never put it quite that way myself, but that's an accurate description, I suppose. Yeah, we help artists and arts organizations really be more effective as businesses.
You've just written in The Economist, the existence and accessibility of high-quality works of art depend on financial subsidy. And I think there are artists and patrons who believe that the arts do need to be subsidized,
right.
But why by taxes?
Americans involved in the arts often like to cite how unfavorably federal funding in the U.S. compares to federal funding in Europe. They kind of don't consider the fact that the real subsidy at the federal level in the United States comes through tax deductions for charitable contributions. But the $5 billion in tax revenue that the federal government doesn't take in because donors are deducting their contributions and their taxes obviously dwarfs the $150 million in NEA funding.
I see that people will grow skeptical and resentful of the arts if they don't have a choice in its funding.
True.
And when you give people a tax deduction, that is a choice. I mean, they're
exactly.
taking their money and giving it to charity or the arts.
Milton Friedman was a fan of food stamps because they were sort of a market-oriented way of providing subsidy for something that society felt needed to be subsidized, that couldn't rely on market forces alone. And I think the charitable deduction is the same kind of concept. It's a way of saying there are works of art that we want to exist, that we want to ensure that they can continue to exist, but that we can't rely just on the market, just on supply and demand. So how do we support that? How do we do it in a way that doesn't distort those market forces and that is sort of as democratic as possible?
But does art consumption and expression have to be democratic?
No, but I think that's a much more democratic approach than some central government agency picking and choosing individual artists or arts organizations to support. And to the extent that it is curatorial, you know, I like to see those decisions pushed down to the local level.
You also say that we must abandon the notion that a strong arts policy begins and ends with public funding. Why do you think so many people insist on public funding for the arts?
If you want to kind of boil down the whole thing to one number that an arts advocate can focus on and pay attention to and say, okay, the NEA's budget, did it go up or down this year? It's the simplest, most glaring metric out there. And, you know, it's a little reductionist to say, okay, that is the symbol of our government's support or lack thereof for the arts. Again, $150 million in NEA grants last
year. Versus what you said,
$13 billion in private philanthropy.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
so that's from individuals, and that's just for the arts, of course. That's from individuals and foundations. It's a small piece of the overall pie.
Yeah.
And it obviously, you know, becomes a very powerful sort of political wedge issue, which I don't think really helps anything in the long run.
Outside of government, what do you think can be done to encourage children in the arts?
It's tempting to say, oh, we're falling behind in math, we're falling behind in reading, you know, we've got to really double down on our efforts in those core areas, and that stuff certainly is important.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not claiming the arts are more important, but I think the arts play a really critical role in helping to educate sort of well-rounded citizens, and especially as the economy is transitioning from emphasizing manufacturing to services to now sort of, you know, what's talked about as the creative economy.
Yeah.
You know, having citizens and entrepreneurs who have trained their brains to think creatively and to, you know, be in touch with different ways of processing information and relating to other people, I think is a strategic asset for a society. I think there's a lot to be optimistic about, actually,
yeah.
out there. I think younger artists and sort of scrappy DIY small organizations are kind of breaking away from a lot of the old models of funding and support, and they're finding tools like fiscal sponsorship or crowdfunding or any number of other tools out there, social media driven or otherwise, that are allowing them to get the resources they need to make their work. They're also, you know, increasingly kind of tax status agnostic. They don't think of themselves as commercial or non-commercial. They can sort of move fluidly between those worlds. And
yeah.
I think that's a good thing.
What is the best area for creative expression right now, do you think?
I mean, I think the big macro phenomenon that we're seeing in the arts right now is this kind of breakdown of the traditional dividing line between sort of professional and amateur. In the balance, I'm excited about the fact that more people are making art. Is it all Carnegie Hall caliber, high art, you know, representing years and years of training? No, of course not, but that's okay. I think there's value in the diversity of it and the increasing universality of it.
All right. Thank you very much, Adam
Huttler.
For Reason TV, I'm Kennedy.